Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out. Brother Code and Sister Jane, we missed you Wednesday. We missed you this morning. We're glad you're able to be out with us, and we pray that the doctors will find something to help your affliction, that you'll have some relief from it. But like with everybody here, when anybody is not here, we miss you, and we especially missed you Wednesday and this morning. So does everyone have a right to their own belief? Judges 17:6, in those days there is no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We were at a memorial service this afternoon, a family member, and there were a variety of beliefs of the people represented there. Some would claim that they were Christians, some would be Baptist, charismatic movement, some that believed in the Jewish faith. And when the preacher got up to say a few words, and it was like I couldn't think of making up something like he did, where he was talking about the departed person spoke to him today and started going on and using a verse here and a verse there. And I imagine if you ask the people, and there's probably a couple hundred people there, they would say, well, sure, you believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. But does the Bible teach that? We're at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you can back up what you believe with the Bible. Their feelings, desires, and emotions override what Scripture says. They don't follow Christ, they follow self. They follow what makes them feel good. They follow what they heard some man say. They do not follow Christ. It's often asserted that every person has a right to his own belief. Well, if the Bible teaches this, everyone ought to teach it. If the Bible does not teach it, no one should teach it. So you stop and think about all the denominations that are out there. If they believe everybody has a right to their own belief, then the Baptists should preach all the other denominational doctrines, the Methodists should preach all of them, and just let somebody pick and choose. They aren't consistent with this thought. This being a religious question, it must be answered by the Bible. So let's examine this question in the light of the Bible. So does everybody have a right to his own belief? What about sin? What does the Bible say about sin? Well, here we have a preacher that says, I will not preach on sin because sin makes people feel bad, and I will not have people leaving my church feeling bad. See, it goes back to how you feel. The problem, sin is the fundamental problem of humanity. Jesus said that it was the man who humbled himself, lamented over his sins, and called on God's mercy while in the place of worship who went home justified. Friends, sin is a problem, and if we don't speak about it, the problems still exist, and people are going to lose their souls over it. Paul never said that we should respect other religious beliefs. He never said that. He never said, you let this person believe what they want to, and this one believe what they want to. Paul said, if anyone preach a different gospel, let them be accursed. So, does everyone have a right to their own belief? Well, let's consider a few examples from the Bible. Consider Cain. Cain did not have a right to his own belief. God did not have respect to Cain for his offering in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering out of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. He had regard, but he did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Why didn't God have regard? Why didn't God have respect for Cain's offering? Because it was not by faith. It was not by faith. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So the only way, again, that we can know what we need to do to please God, the only way we can know anything about God and what he wants us to do is by going to his word. Again, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without reading God's word, it's impossible to read him. Cain did not follow God's instruction, and Jude, he warns about the way of Cain in Jude verse 11. What is the way of Cain? This is the way of human opinion. I think this is okay. I think this is just as good. I think many churches are fine. I think faith only will save us. I think baptism is not essential for salvation. When we start going to what we think or feel, there's no stopping it. The way of Cain, what is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is the way of substitution. God says do this. I don't want to do what God says. I'm going to substitute and do this instead. The way of Cain is rejecting God's way. Cain's works were evil. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, we know the account where people came to the Lord and said, Lord, we've done all these works in your name. We've cast out demons. We've prophesied. We've done all these works in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that work lawlessness. They were doing it without law. They were doing it without faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And like when we looked at Hebrews 12 this morning, when we come to the mountain, we've got to come to the word. We've got to come to the word. So we see that Cain did not have a right to his own belief. Truth is outside of us. It's not inside of us. Truth is in God's word. But a lot of people say, well, I know in my heart this is okay. I know in my heart. Friends, our heart can be wrong. Satan will deceive our heart. Our heart can become hardened. So Cain did not have a right to his own belief. Well, let's consider someone else. Naaman did not have a right to his own belief. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman thought that Elisha would make a big display over him. He's going to come out and do this and wave his hands and say hocus pocus and I'm going to be healed. Well, in 2 Kings 5:11, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. That's what he thought. He was wrong. He thought that the Abna and Pharpar rivers were just as good as the Jordan. 2 Kings 5:12, are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he went away in a rage. He didn't want to go and dip in the muddy Jordan. He wanted to go to some place that was nice, some place that suited the position that he had. What was he thinking? What was he wanting to do? The same thing as Cain, the sin of substitution. Instead of doing what he was told to do, to go and dip in the Jordan, he wanted to go somewhere else. In 2 Kings 5:13, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? So if God told you to do something really big, wouldn't you have done it? Well, he didn't tell you to do something really big. He just told you to do this. Why won't you just do what he says? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped seven times into Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, when he obeyed what God said, he was cleansed. Naaman did not have a right to his own belief. Let's look at someone else. Paul did not have a right to his own belief. What did Paul think? Paul thought that he should persecute the church. And he would go and get letters of authority so that he could bind Christians and take them out of their houses and have them put to death. In Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He repeats that in Acts 26. He says in verse 9, indeed, I thought, that's where we get into trouble. Behold, I thought, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. He thought he was doing right. He was wrong. He did not have a right to his own belief. He thought he was pleasing to God. In Acts 23 and verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. But Paul realized that he did not have a right to his own belief. And he told Timothy when he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul saw that what he had done persecuting the church in his mind made him the chief of sinners. He saw no one did more harm to the church than he did. So Paul did not have a right to his own belief. Well, if everyone has a right to their own belief, don't you think that the Apostle Paul would have known that and that he would have preached it? If people have the right to their own belief, why didn't he preach that? Paul did not teach everyone has a right. What did Paul teach in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9? How many gospels did he say there are? He said there is one. There's one gospel, and it must not be changed. He said, if anyone preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So people don't have a right to changing God's word. He told Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3. Again, we see we don't have a right to pick and choose. We don't have a right to change what God says. We don't have a right to substitute. We don't have a right if we go to some school and somebody teaches us, well, that's the way it used to be, but this is the more enlightened way to see things. We don't have a right to that. And you see churches being led astray by not reading the Bible, by listening to some man speaking, or if a preacher gets in the pulpit and he has a certain view, some of them will find a translation that fits their view, and then they'll suggest to the congregation, hey, instead of this one or this one that we're using, let's get this one. It makes it so much easier to understand. It makes it so much easier to lead people to hell when it's departing from from the original thought. What did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:13? He said, hold fast to the form of sound words. People, they just don't see what the point is in not accepting what everybody believes. One of the reasons, this is an aside, you can ask Carol. I have a lot of crazy ideas that go through my head. And she's saying, oh. Well, with the service this afternoon, I thought, well, I don't know who will be there, who won't. Maybe some of my relatives would come here to the evening service, maybe. And I said, and it was still going on when we left. And I said, well, I'm going back to work now. And I got this look like, work on Sunday? You know, where religion worshiping is so remote from their minds or how they do it, where they look at any act that they do as worship to God. But if it doesn't make a matter, if it doesn't matter what we believe, if everyone has a right to their own belief, I thought maybe this sermon, if someone heard it, might get them to thinking. But if it doesn't matter, and everyone has a right to their own belief, why did he tell Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words? What does this form of sound words mean? It's like a pattern. It's a blueprint. You don't deviate from the pattern. We read about the tabernacle was made according to the pattern. We read in Hebrews about not departing from the pattern. That's why we have a pattern for worship. We have a pattern for how we do the work of the Lord's church. We hold fast to the pattern. We don't change the blueprint. We don't change the design. We hold fast to it. And why do we hold fast to it? Because that's what we're going to be judged by. So Paul told the Ephesians, how many bodies did he tell the Ephesians that there is? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. And that body is the church. How many churches did Jesus build? He said, I will build my church, singular, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, singular. He didn't say, I'll build my churches, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against them. It's singular. There's one body. So Paul did not teach that everyone has a right. If everyone had a right to his own belief, then the will of God would be ruled out and Christ's terms of pardon could be ignored. You stop and think about that. The will of God would be ruled out and Christ's terms of pardon could be ignored. So we talked briefly this morning about the church from Hebrews 12 and how it was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It was his plan that Christ would come and shed his blood and save men, and men would be added to the church. But if anybody can believe whatever they want to, then God might as well just rip up his plan and throw it away and say, you do what you want to do. When God said, I'm going to send my son, and the prophets prophesied that God is going to send a son to be the perfect sacrifice for your sins, for my sins, so that we can be redeemed and have that covenant relationship with God. If it doesn't matter what we believe, then Christ died in vain. He died in vain. Jesus said that the will of God must be done. Jesus prayed that all might be one upon the basis of what? The Word of God. John 17, 20 through 21. He prayed to the Father, 1 Corinthians 1:10. He prayed that there be no divisions, but that they all have the same mind and the same judgment. Everybody doesn't have a right to a different mind and a different judgment. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, with the unity of the Spirit, one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Everybody doesn't have a right to however many they want to, or whatever they want to make up, or none of these. Think about this. If everyone had a right to his own belief, it would make God a respecter of persons. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter recognized that God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11, for there is no partiality with God. God has given one man for all men. So there's no partiality with God. God will not save us differently than he said he would. God will not save me differently than what he said, how he said to be saved on the day of Pentecost. God will not save my mother differently than he saved the ones on the day of Pentecost. God will not save my grandmother differently than the way he saved the ones on the day of Pentecost. God will not save my grandson, my granddaughter differently than the way he saved the ones on the day of Pentecost. If he did, then that makes God a respecter of persons. But we know God is no respecter of persons, and there is no partiality with God. God's justice is blind. We obey, we receive the reward. We disobey, we receive the punishment. So it would make God a respecter of persons if we could be saved differently and everyone had a right to his own belief. God never gave us the right to our own belief. Where did we come up with this? Did God lay out his whole law, and then at the end of the Bible, he said, but by the way, if you want to believe whatever you want to believe, that's okay too? He didn't do that. He didn't do it. Man thinks that denominationalism is good. Man thinks that it's good to have different ways to get to heaven. God said there's only one way. God teaches man there's but one church and one way. Again, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, I will build my church. Ephesians 4, 4, the one body. Ephesians 1, 3, we looked at that this morning. All spiritual blessings are where? They are in Christ. How do we get into Christ? We're baptized into Christ. Well, what if I don't believe that and I believe I can get into Christ by saying some phrase over and over and over? I can believe that, but it ain't going to work. It's not by faith. It's not something you can read in the Bible. In Romans 3:24, we see that redemption is in Christ Jesus. So man does not have a right to his own belief about this. Man thinks that sprinkling is okay. Man thinks that baptizing a baby is okay. God tells us what to do, and it is up to us to do it. Again, back to Matthew 7, the fruit that we bear is evidence of whether we honor God or dishonor God. God says the disobedient will go to hell. Revelations 21:8, 2 Thessalonians 1:8 through 9. The disobedient will go to a place of outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies. There's that flame forever. And what does man say? Oh, that can't be right. That can't be right. God's a loving God. Let's just, I don't believe that, and I've got a right to my own belief, so I'm just going to take that out of the Bible. Friends, it doesn't work that way. Man does not have a right to his own belief. When it comes to what God says, again, like we talked about in class this morning, that's one of those unilateral covenants from a superior being to an inferior being. He says, we obey. It's not a bilateral covenant where we negotiate back and forth about you do this and I'll do that. So many people today think that baptism is non-essential. Friends, God says that it is essential. We cannot be saved without it. For one small sin, Adam lost paradise. You just think about that. He didn't have a right to his own belief. For one small sin, Saul lost the kingdom. The truth, there are no small sins. Every sin separates us from God. There's consequences with sin. Some of those consequences can last for generations. Think of this. Can you imagine the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ to belong to different denominations? So you have 12 men, and of course these denominations weren't in existence at that time. But say one of them was a Roman Catholic, one a Methodist, a Mormon, Faith Tabernacle, Presbyterian, Pentecostal Holiness, Jehovah's Witnesses, Baptists, on and on. Can you see these 12 men that believed differently going out and setting the world on fire, turning the world upside down, spreading the gospel to the whole world by the time Jesus says in Matthew to go into all the world, and by the time we get to Colossians chapter 1 and we see that that has been accomplished. Can that be accomplished when every man has a different belief? It can't be. And we can't be pleasing to God. Cain did not have a right to his own belief. Naaman did not have a right to his own belief. Paul did not have a right to his own belief. The Apostle Paul did not teach that everyone has a right to his own belief. If everyone had a right to his own belief, then the will of God would be ruled out. Christ's terms of pardon could be ignored. If every person had a right to his own belief, it would make God a respecter of persons. And God did not give people a right to their own belief, God, or their, to whatever, to believe whatever they want to. God just not give them such a right. Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We live in that same time today. But what are we going to be judged by? Are we going to be judged by what we think or feel? Again, Jesus said in John 12:48, the word that I spoke is what's going to judge you in the last day. Friends, we got to get into the word. We got to know the word. We've got to share it with other people. And when we're talking with people about what they need to do to be saved, we've got to get them to understand and to agree that the only way that we know how we can be saved is by going to the author of salvation and seeing what he says we need to do. And there's no multiple choices on it. You can do either A, B, or C. He's made it plain and simple. He's made it plain and simple for us to obey. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that has any needs, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.